Welcome to Real Talk Friday with your hosts Rohan Das and Gus Urban.
In this groundbreaking podcast segment, we delve deep into the lives of individuals whose journey has been profoundly transformed by their faith. From the trial of adversity to the triumph of redemption, we explore real stories, real people, whose encounter with God has reshaped their existence.
Join us as we embark on a candid and enlightening journey where authenticity meets spirituality every Friday on Real Talk Friday, part of Logan City Christian Church.
Hello and welcome to season two of Real Talk Friday. We're so glad you joined us. And wow, look at that. We have a new, brand new studio. Mm-hmm. How amazing is that, Gus?
It's pretty good, especially considering we had people come in, volunteer, build us a new studio. I can't believe they actually believe in what we do. So
thank you for your views and thank you for everyone that has helped us build this studio. It's truly incredible and we thank God, and truly this is a blessing. Mm. Real blessing from...
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we know when we started this podcast, we actually wanted to get the church more united in terms of, like, you know, one person getting to another person's story, like getting to know each other. Yeah, that was our main purpose. But we can see God, like, took that to another level.
Right.
And we're so excited to be doing season two. And we thought to start off season two, we bring an incredible person in this segment.
Yeah.
And I'll let Gus introduce this person and then we'll talk more about her. Again, with this podcast, we thought of bringing something new to it. We thought that every week when we do this podcast, we give you a highlight of the biggest story in the Christian media and we talk about it for a few minutes, because I think it's important that we, you know, we're living in end times and sometimes it's very important for us to know what's going on in this world and know exactly what's going on in the Christian community. So we want to bring that to you, and we do our research and we get the biggest and sometimes not so good things and talk about it in the show. What do you think about that, guys?
Well, I think it's great. And, you know, some of the times I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah,
we get so busy and we don't know what's going on, and you find out through other people. But I think this is a great way to spread the word of what's going on in the church globally. So, it's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, so this guest that we're going to talk about today, her name is Yunia. So hello, welcome Yunia.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have an incredible story. And we want to go through that story, of course, in this segment, because I think a lot of people that are going to listen to this story will be blessed, because you have a journey and it's a tough journey, and it will help us get into perspective, because some of us have had such blessed lives growing up in, you know, getting everything you want and, you know, not appreciating that. Some people don't appreciate that. And I think with your story, the place you've come right now is truly a blessing, and God has brought you so far. And it's amazing to see how you love the Lord. You call yourself Princess Yunia, am I right?
That's right.
And the reason you call yourself Princess, because you know you're loved by God.
Amen.
And I'm sure God loves you dearly. So it's really amazing, yeah.
Well, Jesus is the king, so that makes you a princess, right?
Exactly, yes. That's what it is.
That's amazing. Well, so you have a master's degree in divinity, am I right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. What inspired you to do that?
Long story. It's just part of my life journey with God and having a desire to minister to people.
Yeah.
And I decided to do that so that I can be equipped to share the gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, amazing. Well, we'll definitely go into your story. But first, let's talk about Christian news. So I was going through the internet and I found it very interesting that in China, they're now distributing Bibles.
Okay.
How amazing is that?
So you used to have to smuggle Bibles into China.
Exactly.
And now the Chinese government apparently have printed their own version and are giving them to people.
Yeah.
But there's a catch.
There's a catch.
Okay.
So this is the thing. I'm going to read John 8, 7 to 11, according to the Chinese Communist Party Bible. Okay. So this is the story of when they brought a woman to Jesus and said, she has sinned and we want to stone her. And I will read the actual Bible verse that...
That's the Mary Magdalene one.
Yes, yes. That's
right. Is that correct? Oh, the woman caught in adultery.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that one. Okay.
So I'll read from... This comes from the book of John. And book of John chapter 8 and verses 7 to 11. So I'll read that from the New King James Version that we all know of and all trust. So this is what the New King James Version says.
Let's go with that first.
So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stopped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. Such a beautiful story.
We know that story.
We know. Yep. We all know that story. So this is according to the Chinese Communist Party Bible. Jesus once, so this is John 8, 7 to 11 from the Chinese Communist Party Bible. Jesus once said to the angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. When he wrote, when his word came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, I am also a sinner. That is according.
Hang on. No, I didn't get it. I think I'm confused. Okay.
So I'll read it again to you. This is according to the Chinese Communist Party Bible, John 8, 7 to 11. Jesus once said to the angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. When his word came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, I am also a sinner.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
You know, when I read this as a person, if I'm very intellectual and I love, of course, I'm a scientist by profession. I know what it is to be questioning things. Mm. I would question this because, you know, there's so much inconsistency. First, he says, who is with sin? And then he stoned this person. And then
he says, I am also a sinner.
Yeah. And then stones the woman. So this is according. So there is many more verses. And I wish I could, like, I want to get hold of the actual Bible to see so much corruption. But this is what we are talking about. We are living in end times.
Yeah.
So are these Bibles being distributed in China?
In China at the moment.
From the government themselves. What's it called? The Chinese Communist Party?
They call it according to CCP. That's the version of the Bible,
Chinese
I believe.
Communist Party. Yeah. Yeah, so the government in China. So they ban the real Bible. So the real Bible, the real version is illegal. And what they've done is they have made their own.
Yeah.
Twisted verses and then put it out there for their people. Talk about deception.
Yeah, because they know that the word of God cannot be stopped from spreading
That's
in China.
Right, yeah.
And there's so many people that are coming to Christ. The only thing they can do is corrupt the Bible because they see it as the only way to deter Christian from coming. But I know God's going to use this in an amazing way. He's going to use this. Of course, I don't believe this. I believe this is corrupted and this is not the true Bible that, you know, we know of. But it's just sad to see. Like
it's beyond, very sad. Yeah. It's beyond sad. It's crazy to hear something like that.
Yeah.
But this also shows the people, I hope so, that there must be something about the Bible. Why are they fighting against it to such extent where they have to rewrite another Bible?
Exactly.
And then ban the existing one.
Yeah.
That means there's something.
Yeah. It's almost as if they can see that that it's like they know who their real enemy is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If they're going to these extents, they know what the truth is and who their enemy is.
Amen.
I guess at the end of the day, no matter what man tries to do, they'll never win against God.
They'll never win. No. I think looking into the history of the church, every time there's a persecution, something great will come out of it.
Exactly.
So this Bible is probably getting ready for it. It's just like making a move for something greater.
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Yeah, exactly right.
But well, viewers, that's our segment of the biggest news this week. And I know this is it's revealing, but next week we'll have something much greater. Maybe we can get the whole Chinese Bible delivered to us here and we'll probably read the amount of changes they've made, you know, talking about all, you know, lies. This is what it is. But anyways, coming back to you, Dunia, now we're going to go into your story because I think it's incredible. So talk us through your childhood, because that's the first thing we want to know, where you grew up, how your childhood was. We know that you were in a refugee camp. How was that experience? And talk us through your journey to come here into Australia.
Well, my story is really long. How many hours do we have?
Well, we've actually got all day.
Yeah.
About 10 hours or something?
When Jesus returns, we've gone too long. So. Yeah.
Well, I come from Burundi. Burundi is my native country.
Yeah.
I was born in a Christian home. My mom and dad love the Lord. I don't remember a lot of things that happened when I was back in Africa. I mean, back in Burundi.
Yeah.
But when I was six, there was a civil war that took place in my country. I remember that day I was in the house with my young sister who was 4 years old. I was 6 years old. And my mom had gone to our next neighbor, like next door, just to get something. When you live in Africa, you know that your neighbor's belongings is your belongings. You can't get hungry and they have something to eat. If you need salt and you don't have salt in your home, you just go and grab salt in your next door neighbor.
So the community there is awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I miss home, like when it comes to that part of it, even though I was little, but I still remember that.
Yeah.
If I went to get salt from my neighbor, I'd end up in jail.
But it's amazing because there's an African proverb that says that it takes a whole village to raise a child.
That's right.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
It's so you can see that community aspect of it, that everybody's invested into. You know, if you're having a baby, everyone, the whole village or whole community is
invested. It's our baby.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can't call it my baby. It's our baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So go ahead. Yeah. So you were saying.
And then so I was remaining in the house with my young sister who was 4 years. I'm 4 years old. I'm 6 years old. My older brother, who is 8 years old, was on the road just playing with other kids, having fun. And then we hear guns.
Oh,
wow. Yes. I took my sister, started running. My mom comes back home and she realized nobody's in the house. So from that point, we separated from my mother, our mother.
Yeah.
And my dad was at college at that time. Mm. He was not home. And we just ran and we took off and we went to our aunt's house. But then we realized she was not there because everyone was running.
Yeah.
That night, we stayed outside. So we slept outside.
You, yourself, your sister, and your brother?
No. Just me, my sister.
Oh, really?
My brother ran on his own as well. So it was just like...
It was chaos.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy to think about that. I cannot say I can relate, but it's...
I definitely can.
Yeah, I can't say I can relate, but how was it? What were you feeling during that time? Were you scared? Did you like... So... Coming back to that, did you know God or did you rely on him for your needs at that point?
I wouldn't say I knew God, but I knew that there was a God of my mother who is powerful, who can do all things.
Yeah, cool.
I wouldn't say I had a relationship with him, but I can say that I depended on him in because of the relationship that I knew my mother had with him.
That's very interesting. That's powerful, seeing the real relationship that your mother has with God.
Yes.
How that influences and affects the children is a very beautiful thing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So when we were outside, sleeping outside, there were guns still like flashing all around. Goodness. And I'm just trying to hold my little sister, don't cry, so that no one will hear us. But I remember at that time when how I spoke to my sister and I said, it's okay, it'll be fine. Because I knew that God's, my mom's God will save us. I told her actually, like, you know, God will connect us with our parents again. And I just believed it. Yeah. I knew God was going to do it. Only because of mom's relationship with him.
Wow.
She just loves the Lord.
Yeah.
She's a powerful prayer woman. Yes.
Oh, that's there we go. That explains it.
So I knew that her prayers will save us.
Wow. I'm still trying to come to terms with that. 6 years old.
Yes.
Having to step up as a protector,
yeah,
a comforter for your sister. That's, do you feel that the hand of God would have been there for you, giving you that strength and courage? Because what 6 year olds that all of a sudden gets exposed to war.
Yeah, absolutely.
My mind's blown already.
It was just God.
Oh, wow.
So what was that journey? Did you get reunited with your parents at the end?
Yes. So after 2 weeks, not knowing where our parents are, they
that
didn't
long.
Know where. Yes, 2 weeks. So from there, that night we slept there and then we saw people passing and we decided to follow them.
Yeah. Oh,
and on the way, we saw one of the girls that we knew and she took us with her and we crossed over to Tanzania. So Tanzania is like a next neighbor, next neighbor country to Burundi. And we stayed there. Within 2 weeks, we made our parents there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my brother, he also, by God's grace, we all took off the same place. So we met him there as well.
Yeah.
And dad from college went to the same place and we met there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a miracle.
This is definitely a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a great miracle because many people lost their loved ones. Many people died.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly right. How many people were just, say, playing or doing whatever, not realizing that that was the last time that day they was going to see their parents or their relatives or whatever. So to actually hear of in the middle of a war, a savage war where there's no rules in the war over there.
Like, not at all.
To actually find out that every one of your family reunited back together in a period of 2 weeks, which would seem like eternity. I could only imagine. Glory to God for that.
Amen.
So what was your journey like from Tanzania? How long did you stay there in the refugee camp before you came to Australia?
Well, we stayed there for almost 13 years.
And how was that? Like, in brief, I know it's 13 years can be a long time. It is a long time. But, like, tell us your journey within that 13 years in the camp. How was it like?
Well, life was very difficult there. Yeah. We had no police officers. There was so much crime happening there. People would just break into your tent looking for money, looking for food with guns pointing at you. We had those experiences happening to us. And I remember one day when I was just sleeping and before I know it, there were two men standing in my room with guns pointing at me and they asked me for money and I realized there were others in my parents' bedroom, others were some in the lounge room and I told them I don't have money.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know what happened that day. I just don't know because I got off the bed and I just went outside. And they didn't see me. They did not stop me. Wow. Yeah. And so after I went outside, I realized that there were other two who were outside with guns waiting for anyone who can escape.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I ran. And then it shoot behind me.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Oh. By God's grace, I'm here. I'm safe.
Wow.
So I went and I told our neighbors what was happening in our house and they came out. They all started making noises and those robbers ran.
Oh, no.
Yes,
way.
So that's how God made me a savior of my family that day. Yeah.
Wow. So you've lost your home to civil war, lost your family for a period of 2 weeks, go as a child, as a six-year-old child, to another country you've never been before, get reunited with your family, have to put up with crime, have been robbed, have been shot at, and that's more in, like, say, would you say a few years span that happened?
Yes.
Would you say?
Yes. Yes, but it all almost like it happened at the same time, because you are still suffering. It's not like you've suffered and now you are okay yourself.
No,
and
then,
but it's like you're still in the same journey. These things are happening and you are still in this same journey.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult.
Yeah, and it's sort of like baggage just keeps being added on.
Exactly.
Emotional.
Yes.
Trauma, all that sort of thing.
Mm, mm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's as I said, I cannot relate, but, and I see you right now, and when you're saying this story, you still have that joy, because I feel that you feel like you're very thankful to God that, you know, you're here right at the moment. And when you look at it in retrospect, it is, what happened is unfortunate, but you see God's hand over all that situation.
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely.
It
yes.
doesn't bother you anymore, because you know that God's hand was there and he's delivered you from all that and given you a better life.
It's my story, and it really reminds me of God's grace.
Mm.
And I appreciate God for that. And it's part of who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel that those experiences that you've had have molded you in a certain way as a person now? Like, there are certain pillars in your life that you know you're a lot stronger because of that?
Big time. Yes. If I had not gone through that journey, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Yeah, okay.
It was then in the refugee camp that I made a promise to God.
Oh,
we were going through a tough time.
Yep.
And I made a promise to God. I said, God, if you take us from this place and to a better place, I will serve you.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So coming to that story of serving God, so you guys got an opportunity to come to Australia.
Yes.
And when was that? In which year was that?
I don't remember.
A long time ago.
No. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but after... So what was happening in the refugee camp, if UN sees that you're in danger, they will try their best to take you out of that place to overseas. So like America or Canada, Australia.
Yep.
And when it happened, because it happened a couple of times where they came and breaking into our tent, into our house. So UN gave us an opportunity to go to America.
Yep.
My dad put through an application so that we can go to America.
Mm-hmm.
But then my mother said no.
Wow. Wow.
She said that God had not spoken. She did. Yeah. So she said, I don't feel like God is sending us there. And you can imagine, we are in the refugee camp.
You just want to
get out of
there.
We want to get out of here. Mom, please.
Yeah.
And she said, no, you guys can go, but I'm not going anywhere, because God had not said anything. Yes.
That's hearing the voice of the Lord.
Yes. My mother is a very very powerful prayer woman.
Wow.
Even before the war took place, she actually had a dream about it. And she told the women that she used to pray with a church. She told them exactly what was going to happen.
Wow.
But no, she didn't know that we were going to end up in the refugee camp. But she told them that I saw us in tents in a different place. And it looks like this is something that is going to happen very soon.
Yeah.
Within a few weeks, it happened.
Oh, wow.
We were living in tents.
Yeah.
So now in the refugee camp, Dad gets this opportunity to go to America and Mom says no. Wow. And you can imagine we're all angry. Mom!
Mom, why did you do that?
Don't you love us?
I want to eat burgers and chips.
Yeah. But then not long after, she prayed about it and God showed her a different country, which was Australia.
Wow.
And she told Dad, she told us that, guess what, we are going to, she didn't say Australia, but she described the country and it was 100% Australia. Wow. She didn't know Australia.
Did she say like beach and everything? Or?
She spoke about trees, animals, white people, blah, 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 you know, like, yeah. Right now. These white people, they love dogs. Yeah. They're like,
sounds like America to me, mom.
Anyway, she described the country and we knew it was Australia.
Yeah.
And not long after, Dad went and put through a different application and we were accepted.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long from the application to arriving, roughly?
I'm not sure. Maybe 8 months or a year.
Okay. Oh, that was very quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very quick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, you go.
Yeah.
You
so, go. I'm just like, wow. It's incredible that you've got that opportunity to come to Australia. How was it like when you first came to Australia? Was it like a big culture shock to you? Or like, you know, because I'm sure it was a whole different environment compared to what you grew up in. Would you say you were culture shocked by the whole society and culture here?
It was very different.
Mm.
Firstly, we don't speak English. We don't speak the language.
Oh, okay.
And it's hard to communicate. You don't know where to get what and what.
Yeah, true.
The food is different.
Yep.
People are different. Yep. Everything is different.
The systems are different. Everything. Yeah.
Everything was totally different. But because we knew that God was bringing us here, we knew that everything was going to be okay. We came ready to learn and to... Yeah, pretty much to learn.
Yeah. Become part of society.
Part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
My journey in life hasn't ended because it's not in Africa.
Yes.
God has moved us on.
Yeah.
His purpose and plan is still very much the same as.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and also because we are a big family, we're still together. We talk. We share ideas. So we still have this beautiful community of a family. So it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go into what was it like when coming to Australia that you started? How old were you when you first came to Australia?
I was 19.
19?
Yeah.
All right. So coming at the age of 19, what was it that you felt? Did you feel God leading you into ministry at that time, or what did you sort of, it's sort of like, okay, I'm here now in Australia, what now? What do I do?
Well, firstly, I would always remember the promise I made to God.
Yes, okay.
When we were in the refugee camp, I said, if you take us from this place, I will serve you.
Yep.
Even though I didn't know what it meant to serve God, but I knew that I had to do something about it, but I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah,
And that bothered me a lot, a lot. No one knew except me and God.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not see anywhere at all to serve the Lord. And I didn't know how to. I can't even speak English.
Yeah, true.
So, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But by God's grace, I went to to uni.
Yep.
After I finished my diploma, I went to uni. And it was at uni where I met young girls and boys who loved the Lord.
Oh, wow.
I went to this life group at uni. And then I realized that everyone was on fire for Jesus.
Wow.
Wow.
I was like, Lord, I want this.
Yeah.
How come I'm not like this? Everyone loves Jesus.
Yeah.
And I sat down there and I listened to them, the way they worship, the way they share the gospel. They are so excited. And I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I said, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is who I was. But I knew this was my life, but I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And it bothered me a lot. I didn't know how to have it.
Mm.
And I was actually embarrassed to go back there because I felt like a stranger in that place.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Even though I grew up, I was born in a Christian home.
Yep.
But I don't know. I feel like now when I go back and I think about it, I feel like it was something that God just simply put in me just to stir up my spirit.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. So I didn't want to go back to that life group because I felt like a stranger. I wasn't where they are. And I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to ask me to pray or to share the word.
Yep.
I didn't know how to.
Yeah, wow.
So I decided, I'm not going back there. I said, Lord, just, you know, help me read the Bible and understand you and lead me where you want me to be.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And then after I finished uni, long story short, I became sick. I was very sick, very, very sick. It was then that I decided to, it's not like I decided, I had no choice but to stay at home and study the Bible, worship the Lord, pray, and fast.
Wow.
And this went on for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't study. I couldn't do anything because I was too sick.
Wow.
During that journey, then I met Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Remember how I wanted to be on fire for Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Through suffering, I met Jesus.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes. I just, it was a huge journey that I went through. And I don't know. Like, yeah,
it's incredible. That's incredible because, you know, when we are suffering, the first thing is we need someone to blame. And most likely it's Jesus. Oh, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
What's the purpose? You know, I've promised to serve you and I am serving you. Why are you doing this to me? And I think that's the first thing we would ever do. But the fact that you actually came closer to Jesus during that suffering says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Sort of like, God, I've never done anything to deserve this. You know, I'm a good person by my own standards or whatever. Sometimes we can, you know, speak to God like that, I guess, or think that way.
Well, I did.
Yeah. I don't blame
you. Believe me, it was too painful not to think about that.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I could really imagine. But then once again, sort of, going back earlier on in your life, we see that how that promise you made to God was in a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to you being sick.
Yeah.
In another terrible situation was where you met the Lord.
Yes.
And so from a promise to the Lord to meeting the Lord really shows how, I guess like with Moses, where it wasn't when he was a prince of Egypt that he received the fullness and God spoke to him. It was while he was out in the desert, in the wilderness.
That's right.
Feeling like he had nothing to offer God.
Yes.
And then God's like, okay, now you're ready. Do you feel like that was something similar for you? Or?
Absolutely. I feel like it was something similar because if I go back and I think about it, there's no reason why I suffered that way.
Yeah.
I was actually before it happened, It was a time where I came to myself and I said, okay, remember that promise you made to God? I think you need to start studying the Bible.
Yeah, wow. Oh,
and
wow.
Found a church, a small church. At that time, I was attending Hillsong.
Okay.
And I said to myself, you need a small church where you can get to know people who love the Lord.
Yep.
And then they can help you grow in the Lord.
True.
And then focus on studying God's word.
Yep.
So I had already started doing that. I had joined a small church and then I was already fasting and praying.
Yeah, wow.
So I was already into it for like 3 months. And then it was that time, during that time, that I became sick.
Oh, wow.
So I was exactly. So I was already seeking the Lord. I was actually like so excited for him. So that's why what you're saying, blaming God, like, hang on, so, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
I actually was not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I was seeking God. I was hungry for him. I was crying out to him. I wanted to know him. I wanted to love him more.
Yeah, wow.
And then from nowhere, boom.
Incredible.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's, it's sort of like you feel like you're at that point in your life, all right, I'm ready now. God, I'm ready. It's only going to be uphill from here. And then it was just a snowball down into life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Continue on in that journey of that process where from when you got sick, what were some of the experiences, spiritual experiences, that you had in that time of, what would you say, your rough time?
Okay, one of the experiences I had, I still don't understand what it is. I remember one day, I actually used to fast a lot.
Yeah.
Why? Because my mother fasts too much. She loves fasting.
It rubbed off
on
you.
She talks to us about fasting. She encourages us to fast all the times. So at that time, I knew what I needed to do was to fast and fast and fast and fast until mom was tired of it.
Wow.
Until she started complaining. She's like, no, you need to eat. And I'm like, no, I'm fasting.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I'm hungry.
I remember one day my family coming together, my brother who was no longer at home and all my other sisters, they all came together. They said, we have a meeting today. I was like, okay. I didn't know what the meeting was about.
Oh, okay.
And then I came to realize that it was about me, that I need to eat.
So everybody bought a plate to feed you.
Your it favorite food is right there.
What do you want?
But anyway, so one day, woke up in the morning, early in the morning. Just that kind of person who loves waking up early morning for prayers. Mm-hmm. I woke up 5, just praying, studying God's word. I went back to bed around like 7. I was tired. I was like, oh, let me just lay on the bed for a moment. And then from nowhere, it's just like the atmosphere changed.
Yeah.
In my room, the atmosphere changed. The room looked different.
Wow.
I don't know how to like I can't tell you how it looked.
Yeah.
It's just those things you can't even express in words.
Yep.
But it was no longer my room. And then I heard myself coming out of my body. I just knew I was coming out of my body. But then I didn't have the power to say no or to remain in my body. I'm coming out of my body and I can feel it myself coming out. And it's so painful. And I realized I was out.
Wow.
So now I'm just somewhere. I don't know what I was. Somewhere in the universe.
It's not your room anymore.
Like, I'm not in my room.
Yeah.
And then I'm just there. I can't see my body because I don't have a body.
Yeah.
But I know I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there, but I don't see my body. And I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. I don't see anything.
Wow.
And I'm not hearing anybody. And I want to go back in my body.
Yeah.
And I'm not able to do that.
Yeah.
And I just said, Lord, please, can you take me back in my body? I'm worried. Yeah. I pray. I ask you, Jesus, please put me back in my body. I'm worried. Where am I? What's happening to me? And the moment I spoke to him, I came back in my body slowly, gently, slowly in my body. But that was so painful. If anything is so painful, it's coming out of your body and coming back into your body.
Really?
For 3-5 hours, my entire body, after that experience, my entire body was destroyed, like broken.
Wow.
I couldn't lift a thing. I couldn't do nothing. I was so exhausted. Yep. I was so tired.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. So that is one of the things that happened to me.
Yeah.
But then after that, after it happened, within a few weeks, same thing. I wake up in the morning for prayers. I'm worshiping, I'm praying, studying God's word, going back to bed. And then I realized it happened again.
Oh.
I was in the universe somewhere. Oh, and I said, Lord, put me back in my body, please, Jesus.
Wow.
The moment I say Jesus, every time I say Jesus, I'll see myself coming back in my body.
Really?
Yes. So it happened 3 times.
Wow.
The third time, after I came out of my body and I came back to myself, I knelt down before my bed.
Yeah.
And I cried to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you know exactly what's happening to me right now, please make sure it doesn't happen to me again.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm tired of these experiences. I don't know what this is, and I'm not learning anything. I feel like I was just going through pain and I'm not learning anything.
At least let there be a reason.
Exactly. And then I prayed. I said, Lord, I will know that you know what's happening to me and that you are with me if it does not happen to me again. Never happened again.
Not again.
But going back and thinking about it, I just know that the name of Jesus is powerful.
Yeah. Oh,
because unless I spoke the name Jesus, I wouldn't have come back in my body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So go forward to the time where you met Jesus, where you had that encounter. Where along in the journey were you of that 3 years of sickness?
Beginning.
Right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was something that you were about to go through a really rough season.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord revealed himself to you at the very start.
At the very start, yes.
And so that gave you a foundation to get through that season?
It did give me a foundation. I felt like I came to understand that there's a spiritual realm, like there's actually a spiritual world.
Yeah.
Because I was not in the physical world.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be able to explain to you what happened to me, why, and all this information. It's something that the Lord hasn't revealed to me yet.
Yeah.
But all I know is that at that time I felt like, oh, so it's true. One day I will die. One day I will come out of my body.
Yeah.
And I will not be able to come back.
Yeah.
So it's true. Jesus has power over death and life.
Yeah.
Those things Amen. Came to me and really like encouraged me to love him more and to serve him and to trust him that anything is possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought more about death at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess sort of like throughout my Christian walk, there are things that happen or you see take place or whatever. Like I shared this in a testimony last week where in my early to mid-teens, I believe it was, we had a man of God come over from America who knew no one in our church but would just bring forth a word of knowledge over like 70 to 90 people. And it's undeniable.
Yep.
God is speaking through a man to the congregation and so accurately. And there's no mistake.
No mistake.
And then it comes to that point, no matter what anyone says, I could never doubt the way the Holy Spirit moves, that the gifts are for today and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there are things that happen in our life that is very foundational that God's allows us to go through or whatever, but it becomes a pillar in our walk.
Yes,
that we may not understand why it's happening or whatever, but later on in life it becomes that strength for when we're walking in the perfect will of God for our lives.
Amen.
So,
it's incredible. Yeah. So, talking about later on in your life, let's talk about what you're
and
doing.
Also, hang on.
Go ahead.
Like, I like what you're saying about the Holy Spirit and the accuracy of God's word.
Yeah.
Because before that happened to me, there's actually a woman who came to me and prophesied.
Yep.
And no one wants to hear those negative prophecies.
We want a blessing.
Like, you want to hear something perfect, amazing? Yeah. And she said to me, Yunia, the Lord gave me a word for you. I said, okay. Remember, I'm that 3 months of like seeking the Lord. I'm excited, but I'm okay. And she comes and she says to me that God is going to allow you go through a tough season. Mm. You're going to go in to experience deep, dark moment or season.
Yeah.
But the Lord will be with you. Wow. And during that season, the Lord is going to reveal himself to you.
Wow.
And after that, the Lord will use you greatly. I like the last part of it. But the beginning, okay.
Let's fast forward to the end.
No, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
So coming to that, like for my last question is like, what are you doing now? Because I know there have been such difficult season, as you said, in your life that has shaped you spiritually. And I just want to know what you're doing now with all that experience you've had.
Mm.
So talk about your present time. What are you doing for the Lord now?
Amen. Okay, going back. Sorry for taking you back.
No, that's all good.
During that time, probably like a year and a half later, mm-hmm. there's a lady, another woman, a different woman who I met for the first time. And she saw me and she said, what's your name? I told her I'm Yunia. And she said, God is going to use you a lot. You're going to be preaching here in Australia. You're going, I see you moving, going to different places. You're preaching the gospel and I see you moving in power. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So you're doing this and this and you're traveling around the world. You're preaching the gospel. Yeah, you're doing this and this. And she said a lot of things. I actually, I think I still have a short clip, a video of her saying those things to me.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it since she said those things to me. But I know I have it somewhere.
Yeah.
So when I was suffering, during that time of suffering, I have this woman who spoke to me before it happened, mm-hmm. and I have this lady who's coming and encouraging me.
Halfway through.
So these were like my pillars.
Yeah.
You know, when we are suffering, sometimes we forget about the word of God what God said to us.
Yeah.
But for me, it was an encouragement for me.
Yep.
I always would remember what God said. God said, you're going to be okay. God said this will happen. Mm. So those things really encouraged me a lot.
Yeah.
So you asked what I'm doing right now. So that lady spoke those things that she saw me preaching the gospel and doing stuff. But I didn't take her seriously, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Lord healed me and delivered me completely, before then, he gave me a great heart for people. I just loved people like crazy. Wow. I wanted to serve people.
Yep.
I wanted to go out and tell everyone about Jesus.
Yep.
It was my passion. I'll go in the shopping center. I'll lead people to cross. I'll go to the petrol station. I'll lead people to cross. Like anywhere, I'll lead people to cross.
Wow.
But there are times where they'll ask me questions and I'll be like, I don't know how to answer that. Yeah. And then after I got delivered, I said, okay, Yunia, how about you go to college and study?
Yeah, cool.
So that's the time. That's the reason why I went to college to study.
Yep.
And when I went to college, remember the promise I made to God?
Mm-hmm.
It's still not happening at the moment.
Yeah.
And when I went to college, I was praying to God. I said, God, I really want to serve you. I promise you that I will serve you. And you have showed me so many great things and I want people to know you. But I still don't know how to serve you.
Mm.
So I went to college. In my second year, first semester, I did a preaching class.
Yep.
It was then that I delivered my first sermon and my lecturer said to me that I was called in the area of preaching.
Wow.
He said, you need to pursue preaching, Yunia, because this is your area.
I was like,
okay. And then...
another confirmation.
Oh, there we go.
Just another person backing up.
But that was like pretty much very specific.
Yep.
God is calling you into preaching.
Yeah, okay.
That was very specific. And I wanted to hear that.
Yep.
But I did not see myself as a preacher.
Yeah, wow.
He saw something I did not see in myself.
Yep.
And then within 3 months from the time that when he spoke to me, he told me those words, from college, I was connected to some churches and I started preaching in some churches. And then within 6 to 7 months, I was like almost full time. Every Sunday I'm preaching. So since 2022 until today, I'm a preacher.
Wow.
Amazing.
I preach in different churches every Sunday morning. I'm just traveling.
Wow.
Yeah, preaching youth groups. And it's just been a blessing for me. And last year I went to India. I preached in many places in India.
Which is a difficult thing to do.
It was amazing. Yeah. And I remember that she also said I will be preaching overseas. I was like, it's happening already.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. It's amazing
to
see.
It's incredible. Yeah. We all, I know
so
you.
So yes, I do the preaching. I'm an itinerary preacher. Mm-hmm. But I also love evangelism. I do street evangelism. And that's something that it's just everything to me. I love evangelism.
That's incredible because that would be most believers' greatest struggle to go out and just street preach. It would be one of the most intimidating things for most people. Do you feel like God when God placed that love for people in your heart, that there's an anointing and a power to do it. Like, do you really feel like you have received something from the Lord to be able to do that?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Also, the journey I went through made me believe that there was nothing in this world for me except Jesus.
Wow.
Amen.
I came to realize that everything is in vain. Like, everything is useless without the Lord.
Yeah. Yep.
And if I can live another day to make him known, then I am blessed.
That's powerful.
I would have died. I would have died.
Yep.
And there was no one else to serve me. By the way, the doctors couldn't help me at that time.
Yeah.
So the only hope I had was Jesus.
Yep.
He came through for me.
Yep.
He saved my life.
Yep.
How can I be ashamed? It's impossible. It's impossible for me to be ashamed. So I believe that that journey I went through, throughout that journey, God gave me this passion and he made me feel, I don't know how to explain this. I wouldn't say fearless. There's a times where I feel like, oh, I'm scared. But then I'll be like, no, this is, remember you're serving Jesus.
Yeah,
remember what he's done for you. And I'll be like, boom, I'm going.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll count to 1, 2, 3, go for it. Yeah.
Well, what I hear here is confidence. You have a lot of confidence. And
I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's confidence, but all I know, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. And really that proves that, you know, it's not you as the street preacher. It's the Holy Spirit in you.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's what makes the difference.
Exactly. Because I do have that fear. That's what I'm saying, that I wouldn't say I don't have fear, because there are times where I feel like I'm shaking.
Yeah.
But then from nowhere, I'll be like, this is Jesus you are serving.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You're going to put a smile on his face. I always want to put him a smile on his face.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I just go ahead and do it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is so,
so
good.
So preaching on the street is something that I'm passionate about.
Yep.
I love doing that. I have seen so many great things happening on the street. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
I'll live every second of my life preaching the gospel the street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember street preaching and evangelizing in Woodridge train station.
Okay.
And we were doing that for quite a few weeks. We would get together on a Thursday night. We would pray together. And then some people would stay and intercede. And then others would go out.
Praise God.
And I remember such intimidation at first. Mm. Like, I can't do this.
Mm.
But once you're there, there's, you know, the Lord's smiling like on the inside of you.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
It's a very simple thing, but powerful. And it just pleases the Lord when we can go out and testify just to anyone.
Yeah.
Because the hopelessness that people have, believe it or not, last night I was watching a video on this guy that I used to watch him years and years ago, and now he's he released some video and I was watching it. He's not a Christian, but the deadness and the emptiness inside of his life, all his pursuits failed him, and there's just nothing there. And just like what you said before, there's nothing in this world that can really satisfy. It's all vanity.
Yes, it is.
And I saw this in this man. So so from what you've been saying and really what I watched last night, I totally understand what you're saying. So
Well, thank you for, you know, being here on this show, and I feel like, you know, our viewers have heard your story and they're listening to this and I'm sure they're like, wow. Either they feel like they're so blessed to have such a wonderful life.
Mm.
Second, I feel like some viewers want, you know, they want to use their life in much profound ways for the kingdom of God after listening to your story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I feel that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like I've come also from a very different background, but not, you know, I still got everything like my family provided for me. So in some ways, I'm very grateful. I've not gone through the struggles you have, but now when I hear your story, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm putting myself in your shoe, and I feel like I would be in a situation where I would like be questioning God. Why are you doing this to me? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like I am serving you. You know, there are other friends out there who don't even serve you and having a comfortable life. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
But then again, when we are called by God, it's not going to be an easy walk.
Yes.
And so it's with, you know, ups and downs. Yeah. And sometimes we go through so much persecution, so much sickness. And that's because the devil's attacking you because he knows that you're for fire. That's see the fire that is within you to serve the kingdom. So thank you for being in this show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And, you know, what would you like to tell our viewers who are listening? There's something that is in your heart that you would like to tell this viewers of ours. So you can look into the camera and tell.
Okay.
Something that you would like to tell the viewers.
What I would love to tell you or to, I don't know if it's to tell you or to encourage you, is more about patience.
Yeah.
It's important to be patient as children of God. Things will not always be easy and quick.
Yeah.
But if you know that God has said something to you, then it'll come to pass. It doesn't matter how long it's taking.
Mm.
When I was sick, I received a word halfway that I was going to be healed completely. But then it took another year and a half before it happened.
Yeah.
There was a time where I felt like God had let me down, but it was not true. God is always on time.
Yeah.
And God always knows what he's doing. And I feel like it's important for us to learn how to trust him. Amen. But I just want to encourage you, the listeners, to trust God and to wait patiently for him, because only those who wait, we eat the best.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Amen to that.
So, yeah, waiting on God.
Well, yes. On amen. That note, would you like to pray for us and we can conclude this show?
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah. And Father, we just give you all the praises. We thank you for your grace and for your love. We thank you because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm.
We thank you because you are our Heavenly Father who loves us so much and you care for us. We thank you for the story, my journey with you, how you saved my life, how you delivered me, how you kept me safe, how you blessed me, how you have used me in many different ways for your glory, Jesus. Even though I thought that I was the least of them all, but Lord, we see your grace and we believe and trust that you, oh Lord, are doing even greater things in the lives of those who are listening to us right now. We just pray for anyone who is suffering, whether through sicknesses or diseases or any kinds of suffering, whatever it is. Lord, we just pray that you empower them, that your grace rests upon them, that they are faithful to you, that they do not lose hope, that they continue to trust you and wait on you, because you are the good, good Father who loves your children and you are always looking after them. Lord, I just pray that you release your anointing and power upon them, upon everyone listening to us right now. Lord, I just pray that you revive their hearts and spirits and mind for your glory, Jesus, that they stand up and rise up and do the things that you have called them to do, oh Father God. Lord, I just pray for your favor upon them, that, oh God, that wherever they go, they see your face, they see your hand, oh Father God, and that they know who they are in this world, that they remind themselves that they are daughters and sons of the living God, called to know you, to love you, to serve you, and to make you known, that they do not turn away from you, but that they focus on fulfilling the mission that you have called them to do. Lord, we praise you and we honor you. Thank you for this program. Thank you for this podcast. May you continue to bless this podcast and bring more amazing people who have amazing stories to share. We love you, Jesus. And we appreciate you and we pray this in your mighty precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Yunia.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on episode one of Real Talk Friday, season two. We were truly blessed by this amazing story. And we encourage you guys, if you have any testimonies and story, reach out to us. And not only for that, but reach out to us if you want to know more about God. You can see our details flashing on your screen. And if you're listening to a podcast, it's definitely on the description there. Reach out to us and we're going to help you in this journey, because we all went through the same journey, and I think we'd be more than happy to help you guys. So thank you again for joining us, and I'm sure we will see you next time on Real Talk Friday.
As we conclude our episode of Real Talk Friday, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to all our listeners for joining us on this enlightening journey.
But our journey doesn't end here. Join us every Friday as we continue to uncover the real stories of real people, where authenticity intersects with spirituality in profound ways. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of life, finding inspiration and hope in the remarkable narratives shared within the walls of Logan City Christian Church.
Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, may your faith journey be filled with grace, understanding, and the unwavering presence of God. Stay tuned for more Real Talk every Friday on Real Talk Friday.